Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 1, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 32 through 45, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for your mercy. And Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Jesus is Willing to Heal You. Amen. Jesus is willing to heal you. And as we close out this wonderful chapter, we are reminded that Mark cut through the chase. He didn't give any genealogy. He didn't give any history. He just started writing what he saw right then and there. And we saw that he picked it up right when Jesus came on the scene. And what we're going to see in these passages of Scripture is, number one, Jesus didn't want any accolades. He didn't want anyone to pump him up. But what he did was phenomenal. He cast out demons. He healed people with leprosy and sicknesses of the day. And he did it not so to acquire fame. He did it because he came humbly as the Lamb of God. He came to seek and save which was lost. So let's read verses 32 through 45, and then we're going to allow the Spirit of God to take its place in tonight's service. Amen? So we go to verse 32. Now at evening, when the sun had set, they brought him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Verse 34, then he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Last week, we expounded on that, is that the demons know who Jesus is. And guess what? The demons know who you are. See, we cannot see the spirit realm, but the spirit realm recognizes each other, and we are marked by the blood of the Lamb. Can I get an amen? Amen. They know when we're coming. Oh, yes. Oh, here comes. Here comes that one that rebukes in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Look at this. Verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. We're going to see that every time Jesus would be used by his Father, who would minister to hundreds, maybe thousands, he always would take time out to re-energize by prayer, by getting before and giving his Father all the glory. This is why when God uses you mightily, don't pat yourself on the back. Fall on your knees and say, God, thank you for using me. Thank you. Because if I said no to your will, you'll just grab someone else and throw me away like a used tissue. He will. God wants those who are available for him. Can I get amen? Look at this. Verse 36. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. But he said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. So Jesus is going to let us know the purpose of why he came. And it was not just to let people see all the wonderful miracles that were accomplished through his hands, through his speech. But he came to preach God's word. And guess what? The theme never changed. Remember John the Baptist? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus' theme was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And when he left, the apostles came right behind that. Repent, repent. So the word repent is the key word. And if you want access to the throne room of grace, that heart has to repent before a holy God. Can I get amen? That's your access key. Repent. And so when you confess and say, oh God, you know what? I'm not even worthy to be in your presence. I repent of my sins. I want to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets me. And when you come and acknowledge, he already knows you. He already knows your beginning and your end. He's just waiting for you to pronounce that to him and confess it to him. Then that's when mercy and grace comes in abundance. Why? Because he already knows our flaws. He knows our failures. He knows our faults. He's just looking for us to humble ourselves the same way he came. He came humbly to this world. Amen? But he said to them, let us go into the next town that I may preach there also, because this purpose I have come forth. Verse 39, and he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all of Galilee and casting out demons. Man, I'm telling you, when you think about it for a moment, and when we read about later on in the Gospels how he cast out this one demons from this one man, there were legions. Meaning, not just one demon was in that person, there were thousands of them. Wow. Wow, that's something to kind of fathom the thought of that, huh? Look at this. Then a leper came to him. Now, this is one of the most hideous diseases back then. And now they have vaccinations in the day that we live in. Rare occasions is there anyone with leprosy. You may have to find them in remote places, somewhere in South America or Africa, somewhere where they cannot get medical attention to. And so those diseases still exist, but it's very, very secluded, and it's very minute. But back during the time of Christ, it was prevalent everywhere. People were bringing him. Then a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, can you make me clean? Can you make me clean? And Jesus, moved with compassion, he put out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Listen, what if he would have said, well, I'm sorry, man. You know what? Come back tomorrow. Let me see if I feel like it. You know, I got to go take a nap. I don't have time right now. That's not the God we serve, huh? It touched him. It touched his heart. He had compassion. Guess what? He had compassion on us. Can I get an amen? Even in the midst of our sin, he had compassion on us. He could have stamped us out like a roach and said, I'm done with you. You keep wallowing in that same sin over and over. Haven't you learned? He still had mercy. And he showed us grace, didn't he? And he still loved us with an everlasting love. Wow. We serve a mighty God. Look at this. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was clean. Listen. There are times where, I'm telling you, you don't need to enroll in a 12-step program. Can I get an amen? There's nothing wrong with them. But if he chooses to heal you, immediately he delivers you right then and there. That's what happened to me. I can't speak for no one else. $500 of crystal meth in my song. Addicted to weed, addicted to alcohol. All these devices of the enemy. They were traps for my life. It destroyed my first marriage. It did all kinds of things in my life. But yet God said, come to me and I will give you rest for your soul. And so I came humbly. I had no other way. And so here I was all my life until I was 30. I was dead in transgressions. I was dead. The Bible says you come into this world spiritually dead. So I was dead. I was like a walking zombie. I was physically alive, but I was spiritually dead. And then he quickened me. He let my spiritual eyes see the cross. And as soon as I woke up, bam, I ran to the cross. That's what we did. We ran to the cross. He quickened us. He gave us ears to hear and eyes to see. And until he opens up that, we are dead spiritually. We're never going to see him. Our parents can preach to us until we're blue in the face, but we're not going to see God until he quickens you. And you will see him for who he is, and you will run to him. Why? Because he will show you then your sin. See, when God shows you your sin, man, that's different than, well, you know what? Do I have to give you everything? That, you know, this stuff I'm keeping here. No, he allows us to see it all. And then we fall on our face before him. Look at this. And he strictly warned him and said, send him away at once. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, But go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing, those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. He wanted him just to go to the high priest. Why? Number one, he didn't want any attention because he didn't want the dog and pony show to be following him. Yet, people couldn't contain it. Let me just say this. When you get saved, when you truly get saved and get filled with the Holy Ghost, you cannot contain the glory of God that's in you. You will tell someone automatically. You will share your testimony. Oh, yeah. You will preach and you'll be boom, 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 boom. And people will get saved just at your testimony. Oh, yeah. The anointing will come off you. And it'll jump on them. Oh, yeah. That's how I would love to see God use everyone that gets saved. It's something that's immediate. Well, guess what? He can if you surrender to his will. Look at this, verse 45. But he went out to begin and proclaim it freely. So he went out. Jesus just told him, don't go tell no one, just tell the high priest. But nuh-uh, that leper went out and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly in the city, but was ousted in deserted places, and they came to him from every quarter. Wow. So the cat got out of the bag. And so, let me just say this. If God radically changed your heart, the cat will get out of the bag. At first, your family will go, oh, man, what are you on now? But when they see your life transformed from darkness into his marvelous light, man, now they're going to start wanting, I want that too. Can I get an amen? So let's go to verse 32. Now that evening when the sun had set, they brought him to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And so saints, people came to Jesus on Saturday evening on the sunset during the Sabbath. The day had been the Sabbath, and their day of worship and rest lasting from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. And Jewish law prohibited traveling and carrying burdens on the Sabbath, so they waited until sunset. Now listen to this. After the sun went down, the Sabbath was over, and the people searched for Jesus. See, they were really religious. Because Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees got really upset, huh? Well, we don't do that on that day. I remember he said, well, listen, if your horse falls in the ditch, aren't you going to save him, or he's going to die in that ditch, regardless of what day it is? He tried to paint a picture. Man, use wisdom. Use common sense. Now, the Greek word for brought means to carry. Many of the sick and demon-possessed people were literally carried to Peter's home so Jesus could heal them. Man, they were just, some people had more faith bringing them to Jesus than the one that was actually afflicted. You know, it takes a whole lot of faith to bring your family to Christ, doesn't it? But God is saying, be bold. Be bold and bring them to the household of faith and watch God do something radical. Can I get an amen? That's what God's all about. He's all about doing the miraculous in the midst of his people. And so nothing's changed in 2,000 years. So the crowd was so huge that it appeared that people all over from Capernaum had gathered there. And there was no unruly mob. People had come on a mission, and they were to stay until their mission was accomplished. Amen? Let's go to the next verse in Mark chapter 1. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases. He cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. This is the authority our Jesus has. He can silence the demons. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And the demons that are influencing this nation, we as the voice now need to rise up in faith and silence the demons. Can I get an amen? They come in many forms and fashions, and we didn't be about our Father's business. Can I get an amen? This is the time to be bold for Christ. This isn't the time to, you know, just, oh, it's me. We all have problems. But you know what? In the midst of your turmoil, God will get the glory from your life. And then he'll flip your circumstance around so that you could give him more glory. Can I get amen? See, the Bible says, weeping may endure for an evening, but joy cometh in the morning. You got to believe God no matter what you're going through today. God said this is all not always going to be like that. God's going to deliver you. He's just saying, be steadfast in me and watch me do the word. And he will receive all the glory and honor. So saints, Jesus patiently healed all the sick people. No diseases took Jesus by surprise. Aren't you so blessed to know that? And no disease was beyond the ability to heal. Man, I'm telling you, I don't care what the doctors say you have. And they may tell you a word you can't even pronounce. But always remember this. The name of Jesus is above all names. Can I get an amen? So put that name, whatever they labeled on you. Now listen. It didn't frazzle me. I got permission. But Brother Felipe wants you all to pray. I'm talking pray, pray, pray. Just like we prayed for Sister Barbara last week. Amen? But when Brother Felipe's wife was here, you know, it was so awesome to see her. But when she flew back home, she started feeling weak in her legs. And they didn't understand why she was losing muscle mass in her legs. And so they finally diagnosed Brother Felipe's wife. They found cancer in her blood. And then they found something in her uterus. And she has these lumps in her neck. And so I need you guys to pray. Not gossip, but pray. Pray in your most holy faith, amen? Just like we're praying for Sister Barbara, we're going to pray, right? We're going to pray and watch God do something miraculous. We're going to believe God. God's looking for people that will pray and seek his face. In the meantime, as we pray for our friends and our family members, God will take care of your business. So Jesus' authority over the demons continued to be revealed as he ordered many demons to come out from victims that were brought to him. Again, Jesus simply had to command the demon to come out. And guess what? It obeyed. However, this time Jesus refused to allow the demon to speak because they knew who he was. Look what Luke describes this. Look at this. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite of Galilee. For those of us who went on the trip, we were worshiping God right on the Sea of Galilee. So from the west of us, wherever you were positioned, singing and worshiping God, was the Gadarenes. The Gadarenes. It was right there in our distance. And he stepped out on the land, and there he met a man from the city who had demons for a long time. It didn't say demon. Plural. Demons. Look at this. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. He was being tormented. How many people that are in psychiatric wards that are being tormented, and the modern day psychiatrist, well, it's a mental disorder and we need to give them so much more Prozac and this and that. A lot of times, they're demons and they don't know it. Why? Because they're not born again. They're not spiritually discerned. They don't know the things that are holy, that God says is true in his word. They don't know what they're dealing with. This man was tormented. Look at this. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him with a loud voice. What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? That demon knew who he was. You see, when you come, hallelujah, when your presence shows up and there's someone, man, that's either oppressed or filled with demons, they will know and they will run from you. They won't show their face. Why? Because that demon knows the light that comes. What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. See, the demons know that when Jesus comes, all the demons and even Lucifer himself is going to be cast into the lake of fire. They know that day's coming. So why do we see all the chaos in our world right now? Why do we see the violence rise up and the sexual sins? And then we just read today, I guess if you're watching the news, over 300 priests molested all these kids from way back when. My goodness. Those are demons that are influencing these people. Look at this. For it often seized him. No, look at that. Verse 29. He had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him. For it had often seized him. And he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles. And he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. That's how this man was tormented. He was out of his mind. And he didn't know how to get rid of it. Look at this. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. A legion is thousands. There was thousands of demons in this man, tormenting him. And you know what they look for? They look for a host. They look for a body. They look for a soul that's given up in life, that doesn't believe in God, that's carried away in their lust. Here comes the demons. Man, I'm going to take up house here. So look at this. And they begged him that he would command them to go into the abyss. You know what the abyss is? The lake of fire. That demon didn't want to go there yet. He knows he was going to go there. He says, "Don't send me into the abyss." Look at this. Now, verse 32. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountains. And they begged him that he would permit them to enter them. And so Jesus said, "Okay, I permitted them." Then the demons went out of the man, entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. Why? Because as soon as they went into the swine, they immediately were tormented. So they just wanted to die. Wow. I hope this wakes us up, because we're seeing demonic influence in our society today. You watching all these scary movies that come out, man, that demon's going to roll up on you one day and come right in you. And then you don't know how to get rid of it. Come on, I'm speaking truth here. When you open up yourself to the supernatural like that, man, you're playing with fire. Now, we go back now to verse 35 in Mark 1. Now, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Praise God. And so, saints, before the sun came up, Jesus went out alone into the wilderness to pray. During his ministry on earth, Jesus was in the constant prayer with his Father. Mark recorded three of these times. After number one, after the successful ministry in Capernaum with the healing of many sick and demon-possessed people, he went to go pray. After the miracle of feeding more than 5,000 people, he went to go pray. In the Gethsemane garden, just prior to his arrest, trial, and crucifixion, where did we find him doing? Praying. So let's move on now to verse 36. And Simon, those who were with him, searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Hey, let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I had come forth." Saints, apparently the people in Capernaum continued to arrive at Simon Peter's house the next morning, hoping to hear more of Jesus' teaching and see him perform some miracles. Once again, here comes the dog and pony show. Some of them just came just to, get amused. But yet, he didn't come for those folks. He came for real people, real life situations, people that were in dire need. You know, sometimes you're not going to get nothing from Jesus until you basically say, "I've tried everything else. I need you, Lord." When you come to the end of your wits, now you're crying out, "God, I need you now." Oh, he'll show up then. You know why? Because he allows you to waste all your time looking for love in all the wrong places. And that's the bottom line. We're looking for love, and we're looking to be content. We're looking for happiness all in the wrong places. And guess what? Our eternal joy is in Christ Jesus. Can I get amen? My goodness. Man, there's nothing better than having a dose of the Holy Ghost. being filled with the Spirit, His promise, man, His presence, knowing that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. So the disciples were surprised that Jesus would not follow up on His great success from the previous day's ministry in Capernaum. Why did He always leave Capernaum? Because the majority of the miracles we saw, what, a couple weeks ago, He cursed that town, and today it's still cursed. Why? Because that whole town remained in unbelief. He did the most miracles in Capernaum, and yet that whole town ended up in unbelief. Our founding fathers had, hallelujah, put our Constitution together. They were men and women of God, and this nation has forgotten God no differently. That's why we need to take this country back by prayer and fasting and preaching of the word. Can I get amen? Amen. You know what? Politicians are great, but we need pulpit preachers, hallelujah, preaching the truth to repent. But there's too many jellybacks. They won't. Oh, we can't talk about this in here. I won't have anyone left to preach to. Well, then preach to yourself. And get right or get left. Can I get amen? Not only was Jesus not going to capitalize on His great popularity in Capernaum, He was not even going back into that city. Instead, He was leaving on an extended trip throughout the region. Many people needed to hear Jesus preach the good news. Can I get an amen? What are you doing with your life now that you're saved? I ask this question. Listen, God saved us for one purpose. One purpose only. Can I get an amen? It's right up here. Look at this. How then? This is in Romans 10. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? These are people that you know, people in our sphere of influence. Did you know that every one of us in our life has a sphere of influence? There's people in your life that I'll never meet and vice versa in our lifetimes. So, how then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Can I get an amen? Without a preacher. Look at this. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Listen, wonderful pastors across the land that do preach the truth, pray for their feet, because beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring truth. Can I get amen? There's many that, but the Bible says, like we saw Sunday morning, there's a lack of them. The majority of them don't want to step on any toes. Well, we can't talk about that here. Well, then you might as well have a social club. Have membership. Why are you even having church? Well, people in the church are dying in their sin. And if you don't tell them truth, they'll never get set free. Listen, repentance and truth is a good thing. Because then we find out how to get right with God. And once we get right with God, then everything starts to fall into place in life. Can I get amen? Amen. This is not about getting slapped upside the head and I told you. No, this is about whom the Son says free is free indeed. And once you get truly saved and set free, guess what? You'll know someone that needs the same thing. And now you're going to go and share your life with them. And God will set them free. It's God's grace. Can I get amen? Amen. And so, in verse 39, and He was preaching in their synagogues throughout all of Galilee, casting out demons. Man, I'm telling you, man, He's the demon caster. Man, He went everywhere. That lets me know there were probably millions of demons that fell with Satan from heaven. You got to remember, who was Satan? As we've been reading and learning, he was Lucifer, the morning star. He was the most beautiful archangel that was created by God. Pride lifted up in him. And so he was cast out, and many demons followed him. In other words, the choir went with him. Oh, yeah. And nowadays, I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it with my own eyes. This is why worship needs to be a holy place. It needs to be a holy place. Amen? But there's choirs I've seen. There's homosexuals up there singing them with them. And get, you know what? When you start tainting it, God will withdraw his presence. He's not gonna mingle in darkness. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And then I will receive you unto myself. You know, no one want to hear that. But when you come here, I can't preach nothing else but truth. Or I will stand before God and say, you didn't tell them? Man, I'm telling you. I want more than a 10-speed in heaven. He says, I got stored up riches for those who love him. I don't want to be riding around on Hallelujah Lane on a skateboard. But for some, they just got in and the smoke of the tail is right behind them. Lord have mercy. Jesus help us. Jesus and the disciples left early in the morning, the bustle of Capernaum behind, and began a preaching and healing tour throughout the region of Galilee. The Romans had divided the land of Israel into three separate regions, and they were Galilee, Samaria, and Judea. And aren't you so blessed that God made a way like there was no way? Huh? He made a way. We just read this. We need preachers. Can I get an amen? How many believe we need preachers? So here's a myth that we want to kind of like bring to the forefront now and destroy anyone's kind of what? Theology. Because I always hear this before. Look at this. Can a Christian be demon possessed? I'm talking about a born again believer filled with the Holy Ghost. That question produces lots of disagreement among theologians. Most would say that a believer probably won't be totally possessed, but might experience some form of oppression or very strong influence by demons. The Bible does not describe followers of God coming under the influence of evil spirits, but there were cases in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, but my understanding is this, they were never born again. Can I get an amen? Because we see the first instance right here in 1 Samuel. The Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit tormented him. But you got to remember, if you really understood the contents of that, the people wanted Saul. Because they didn't want to be ruled by the Lord God. They wanted a man to rule them like all the nations around. So we want a king too. So they didn't want God. And so why did they choose Saul? Because the Bible says he was masculine, he was built, and he was handsome. This is the guy we want. And remember when the prophet came and said, Saul, the Spirit of God has departed from you. And then he went into Jesse's house looking for the next king, right? And he went through all of King David's brothers. And man, he looked at the mighty men of valor, man, the ones that were in the forefront on the army line, and right on the line where armies and battles took place. He says, no. And they were probably going, well, wait a minute. I'm the baddest one here. He goes, you got any more brothers? Yeah, there's one little rut kid taking care of the sheep out there. And well, show him to me. Went out there. It was a little ruddy kid, the Bible says. And as soon as the prophet came close to the kid, this is the one. And he anointed his head. Why? Because the Bible says that God does not look at the appearance. He doesn't look at the outer. He looks in the heart of man. And he saw that King David, who will be king, had a heart after God. And I like to say it like this. Those who are born with the Spirit from above have a heart after God. Can I get an amen? We all have that heart like King David. How many times have you slipped and fell? How many times have you gone down and yet you still get back up and say, oh, God, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me? Why? Because the Spirit of God is upon you and in you and through you. And the gates of hell will not prevail against you. You gotta dispel the lies that people say about you and know that the God of Israel lives inside you. You were born from above. You weren't born from down here. One time you were physically through your mother's womb, but we were second time born again from above. Can I get an amen? Now, here's another New Testament guy. Then Satan entered Judas, surname Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. That lets you, you know what that let me know? I was, okay, Lord, wait a minute. He was one of the 12. What's going on, Lord? People can be real close to Jesus and don't even know him. That was a picture of the church. There's people in the church, they're not born again. They don't know who God is. But they'll say, hallelujah, praise him. Oh, yeah, and go home and still live like the devil. This one, for 30 pieces of silver, had no conviction, turned them in. Look at this. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with chief priests and captains how he might betray to him. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. And then there was another instant in the New Testament where there was influence. And God did it for a reason. Ananias and Sapphira. Look at this. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back a portion of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price for the land yourself? You see, we can dupe each other all day long, but you can't dupe the Holy Ghost. If you're operating for the right reasons, God will keep you steadfast. But man, if you're operating in a wrong spirit, he will reveal and pull the covers. Oh, yeah. While it remained, wasn't it not your own? And after it was sold, wasn't it not your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias heard these words, fell down, and breathed his last breath. Man, I read that. I go, whoa, Lord. Be careful what you say to people, and be careful how you entreat people that you know, and be careful what you say, because God hears every word we say. Walk in the spirit of meekness. Can I get amen? Walk in the spirit of love. And don't withhold anything from God. If God say, hey, you give this part to me, and we always think it's money, no. Give your life to him so he can help you, so that he can improve your life of a quality of life. Don't hold back anything. Give it all to him. And then trust him. And then leave all the consequences to him. I'd rather leave all the consequences to God as I trust him. Then guess what? You're not worried about what it turns out to be. You're not worrying about how this is going to play out. No, you leave those consequences to God. And guess what? He'll make it all beautiful in his time. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. We serve a mighty God. Can I get an amen? You better believe that God is, he came for you. He came for me to enrich our life, to prevent us from going down a fiery pit, that our life would count. Do you believe your life counts? I do. So it's safe, saints, to say, however, that a Christian who is filled by God's Spirit cannot be possessed by a demon. Christ has delivered believers from the kingdom of darkness, and no demon or anything else can separate them from eternal and everlasting love. That's a child of God. Aren't you so blessed on that? Huh? Aren't you so blessed to know that? But once again, you have to be a true child of God. This ain't time to play the church. It's time to be the church. Can I get an amen? Look at what it says here. Because he has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of his son in love, and whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. Can I get an amen in the house? Aren't you so blessed to know that, saints? Oh, yes. Come on. And look what 1 John says. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. These are unbelievers. We are, though, of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. So when you're speaking to someone and they just don't get it, I don't have a clue what you're saying. I don't know, understand what this says. Maybe, just maybe, they're not of God. But this we know, that the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Can I get amen? God hears us. Look what Romans says. For I am convinced. Say that with me. I am convinced. One more time. I am convinced. I need to say this one more time. I am convinced. Look at that. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow, come on. That's a time to just step out and say, come on, Jesus. Now, I'm going to show you something that's pretty graphic. Don't worry, it's not a sexual graphic thing. But look at this, says right up here. Then a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, can you make me clean? I found some lepers. And this is what they look like. Look at that foot right down there. They have leprosy. They were considered unclean. As soon as they came, man, the people in the towns ran. And actually, they made a place that was far outside of their town. And that's where they kept them all. And they would come and drop food and throw food down there. You know, the mercy of the town was they gave them food and water. But they were not allowed to walk around in the towns, because that was very infectious. Their pus sores were open and it was just oozing out. And anything, if they just sneezed on you or in the air they breathed around you, would get on you and you would become a leper. It was that very contaminant. And so one fell on his face before Jesus. And the Levitical law at the time said, we ain't touching you. Matter of fact, they would have to drop a tarp on them and rope them and drag them out. They didn't want to touch that thing. But not Jesus. Come on. Do we serve a mighty God? I'm going to leave that up there for a little bit. You know why? Because before we come to Christ, that's what our soul looks like. It's tainted with sin, shapen in iniquity. And until God comes into your life and cleanses you, hallelujah, you're going to remain in that condition spiritually. Listen to this. In keeping with the law in Leviticus, Jewish leaders declared people with leprosy unclean. This meant that lepers were unfit to participate in any religious or social activity, because the law said that contact with any unclean person made that person unclean too. Some people even threw rocks at lepers to keep them at a safe distance. Even the mention of the name of the disabling disease terrified people. Why? Because they were afraid of catching it. Man, just looking at that terrifies people. And that's just a Photoshop of them. Lepers lived together in colonies outside their community. Most would remain until they died there. They just died there. Sometimes, however, leprosy would go away. Then the person could return to the priest and ask to be declared clean before returning to the community. That this man with leprosy came to Jesus reveals the man's great courage. He had courage. Why? Everyone else is getting healed. How about me? How about you? If you're unsaved tonight, how about you? Would you want to turn from that to someone that looks beautiful? That man's leprosy came to Jesus, reveals the man's great courage. And he knelt, reveals the desperation and the humility. When's the last time you cried about your sin?
I sinned before you, God. Oh, God, cleanse me, wash me.
Cleanse my own thought life, God. When's the last time you ever had a really good cry before God, crying out for what you did against him? When's the last time altars are filled up crying for their sin? This man came crying, man. He came with humility. He had no other hope. But the man that was healing left and right, he showed his desperation and his humility. His words to Jesus revealed his faith. The priest would declare him clean, but only Jesus could make him clean. Reveals the man's faith in Jesus. If you want to. So let's go to verse 41. We're coming in for a close. Amen. And Jesus moved with compassion. He put out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing. Now be cleansed. Man, I look back 30 years of my life. He said, be clean. And from that day on, I was cleansed. No more desire. He delivered me from darkness into his marvelous light. And by the grace of God, I've been privileged to teach you by God's grace. This is God's plan for my selfish life I had back then in my BC years. I was living for self. I wasn't living for you or no one else. But God saved me so that I can bring a word of hope to you today. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's the grace of God. I was no different from that. From that guy. I used to look like him. Some people hated my guts because they saw how despicable I was. I was no different than that spiritually. Praise God. In verse 42, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Can I get amen? Now listen to this, saints. Jesus' love and power go hand in hand. Mark revealed Jesus' heart of compassion. While all people shun lepers, Jesus touched this man covered with a dreaded contagious disease, as we talked about. The fact that Jesus touched precedes his pronouncement of healing, indicates that Jesus disregarded the Jewish law not to touch a leper. In other words, he stepped over the law. And I'm going to show you grace now. Hey, the law said that we sinned before a holy God and we all deserve death. But Jesus stepped over the law and came and saw you and me. And he said, nah, I'm going to save you. My blood's going to cover you. I'm going to wash you with my blood. Hallelujah. So now look, when Jesus looks down, hallelujah, when the Father looks down from heaven, guess what he sees? He don't see your sin no more. All he sees is the blood that has covered your sins. Can I get an amen? I can't see the blood that's on you. I can't. With my physical eyes, I can't. But the spiritual realm sees it. So that's why the demons see who you are. You know what they see? They see the blood. Hallelujah. That has covered your sin and the Holy Ghost that lives inside you. My. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed to be a child of God? Look what these old-time priests back in the day, and we'll go quickly and close. Look at the Leviticus 5:3. Or if he touches human uncleanness, whatever uncleanness with which a man be defiled, and he is unaware of it, he realizes then he shall what be guilty. So you couldn't touch one of them, folks. Look at Numbers. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, everyone who has a discharge, and whoever becomes defiled by a corpse. You shall put out both male and female. You shall put them outside the camp, that they may not defile their camps in the midst of which I dwell. So they had no other place but to go, outside. And here's Jesus. I don't care what they said. I don't even care if it's Saturday, Sabbath. I'm going to touch this man. Be made whole. And he said, be made whole to you and I. That day we came humbly before the throne room of grace. Aren't you so blessed? He could have kept us out there. He could have kept us out in sin, huh? And so these last few scriptures here, and he strictly warned him and said, send him away at once. And he said to him, say that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest. He had to go show himself. Why? Because the priest needed to see that in Levitical law, okay, if he has no more leprosy, then he can come back into the community. So that's why he said, go see the priest. Go. Look at this. Show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Man, God knew what he was doing the whole time. Man. So saints, when a leper was cured, they were able to come back only if the priest examined them. And that's why he sent them. And you know them. They were probably men with the flip them over, flip them upside down. They couldn't find a spot. Let me just say this. When Jesus gets a hold of your life and he cleanses you, ain't nobody going to see a spot on you. Can I get an amen? They may have a distant memory of you, but that's all they have. They don't see the future that God has. And behold, he cometh again. Can I get an amen? Jesus comes again. He told me along the way, hey, you know, don't talk to no one. That's what, just tell the priest. Why would Jesus ask this man not to tell anyone? You know why? Right here, the scripture explains it. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. And no need for that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. See, he knew that people were just going to come to watch a dog and pony show. He knew their hearts. They didn't come for the right reason. Jesus doesn't need our approval. I hope you know that. He don't need our approval. And so we close with the last verse. And next week, by the grace of God, we'll start chapter 2 in the book of Mark. But when he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city but was outside in the deserted places, and they came to him from every quarter. They still came. They couldn't contain what happened to them. I couldn't contain it when I first got saved. I was ridiculed and mocked by my own. It started with my own family members. They said, oh my gosh, what is he on now? But I do remember when I first got filled with the Holy Ghost, it was like someone gave me an AK-47, and I was, repent or perish, repent or perish. They said, man, something's gone wrong with him. You wouldn't want to be around me either. And then God gave me wisdom down the road. No. You have a whole lot of zeal, but you got no wisdom, young man. Let me show you a better way. And by the grace of God, he taught me his way. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your loving kindness, oh God. Lord, I thank God for the saints that have come out tonight. They pressed through, oh God, to be built up in their faith, oh God, tonight. And Lord, we know, God, nothing that is said, anything of the Word of God does not come back void. It comes back with return. And that return is to glorify you and magnify you and to praise who you are, for you are the Holy One of Israel. And there's no other God that sits right next to you. You are God all by yourself, and you don't even need our help. But what blesses your heart is when we choose to worship you and praise you and glorify you on all the wonderful things that you have done for us. And so that's why we're here. We're here to praise you, to thank you. Even in the midst of our trials, even in the midst of what we're going through, yet I will praise you, Lord. Come what may, I will praise you, God. As I wait for my healing, oh God, as I wait for my deliverance, oh God, I will praise you, Lord. I will glorify thee and magnify thee. I will let other people know, hallelujah, that you came to save us, hallelujah, from the miry clay. Oh God, you are an awesome God. You are a mighty God, and we praise you tonight. And I'm praying for those right now who may not know you, those who are listening right now. Maybe God somehow allowed you to hear this message. Maybe someone said, hey, listen to this message that I found on this website, or whatever the case may be. This is not a coincidence that God is calling you now. And if he's calling you, if you're here tonight or listening to this message, know this. No matter what you're going through, no matter what the case may be, his grace is sufficient. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what your past looks like. I don't care how tainted it may look. But God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever think and ask and hope for. And he will pick you up. He will wash you in his blood. He'll fill you with his spirit. And he'll give you a new road in life, a new path, a new walk, and a new talk with him. Hallelujah. He will speak to you in the wee hours of the night. He will tell you how much he loves you. He will tell you that you are beautifully and wondrously made in the image of him. He will tell you great and glorious things that are coming. Thank you. And he will tell you that I have surrounded you with a host of angels that the gates of hell cannot longer prevail against you. If that's you, cry out in faith and believe God. Cry out to him tonight. And if you haven't cried in a while, man, maybe cry tonight. Cry when you go home. God, man, you know what? And just cry not because you're sorrowful, but cry to say, thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God. When's the last time you just cried, not about your sin, but how thankful you are that he has delivered you from a place of hell. Man, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If that's you tonight, just cry out to God. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm here by faith. And I believe every word that was spoken out of your word, for it was for me. Lord Jesus, I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to serve you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, come on. Give him a shout of praise. Come on. Is he worthy? Come on. Is Jesus worthy? Oh, yes, he is. Come on. There's no more Chargers in town. Come on. This whole NFL season, you can praise him now. Come on. Give him the glory. Can I get an amen? He's worthy, worthy, worthy. Come on.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the praise.